This is May June edition of Super Science. I'm Chris Radio volunteer Danny Lax. We'll begin with the News Blast section, the latest in science news. Earth science, huge fossil find. Scientists recently found a huge dinosaur fossil in Europe. In fact, it may be the largest ever discovered on the continent. A man in Pombal, Portugal first spotted the skeleton in 2017 while digging in his garden. Last summer, paleontologists finally uncovered the fossil, or preserved remains of the dino's rib cage. Millions of years ago, when a dinosaur died, sometimes it would be quickly buried by sediments, like sand and silt. Over time, minerals seeped into its bones, turning them into fossils. Most dinosaur bodies decayed before this happened. That's why fossils are so rare. In Portugal, researchers used the rib cage to estimate the size of the dinosaur. They think the dino is a type of sauropod, a giant plant eater with a long neck that was 13 meters, which is 43 feet tall, and 25 meters, 82 feet long. The team will keep digging at the site to uncover more of the dino's bones. This article was written by Jackie Appel. On the left side of the page, we see a map of Pombal, Portugal. On the next page, we see sized up. Here's how this sauropod compares with a human and the tallest living land animal. Think about how many times taller is this sauropod than a human. Researchers sit with the giant dinosaur's 10-foot-long rib cage. Scientists carefully chiseled away the dirt to uncover the fossil without damaging it. On the next page, we stay in the News Blast section. Life science. Nose picker. Aye-aye-ayes are lemurs or primates native to Madagascar, an island east of Africa. They have five long fingers on each hand. The middle and ring fingers are extra long. They use the middle finger to fish out bugs from under tree bark. Recently, scientists discovered another use: picking boogers and eating them. Biologist Anne-Claire Fabre noticed Callie, an aye-aye, in captivity, sticking her long fingers into her nose. Then Callie licked the snot that came out. "I was really surprised," says Fabre, "to figure out where the finger went." She studied 3D models of an aye-aye's skull created using a machine called a CT scanner. It's possible Callie's finger reached her mouth and throat. Fabre realized that many other primates with high dexterity skill at using their hands and fingers are also snot eaters. This includes chimps, gorillas, and humans, but why eating snot is so common remains a mystery. This article is written by Maya Focht. On the right side of the page, we see inside an eye. Scientists use CT scans to study where an eye's finger could reach when picking its nose. At the top of the page, we see this eye is using one of its extra long fingers to search for food. Just right of that, we see Callie, the eye, was caught on video picking her nose. The CAT scan image shows the extra long middle finger going up the nose. It also shows the facial bones and the throat. On the next page, we see engineering. A computer made this. A new computer program called DALL-E 2 can create an artwork in moments. Type an idea like Cat DJ or Teddy Bear Mad Scientist into the program. In a few seconds, DALL-E 2 will produce art to fit that description. DALL-E 2 was created by tech company OpenAI in San Francisco, California. The program uses artificial intelligence, or AI, or a computer's ability to perform tasks normally requiring human skills. Programs that use AI can make predictions and decisions. DALL-E 2 has analyzed millions of images and descriptions to form connections between the words and pictures. This allows it to create its own complex art. Some believe its images are so impressive that they could be mistaken for the work of a professional human artist. This article was written by Nell Durfee. At the top of the page, we see a computer program made this image based on the phrase "Teddy bears mixing sparkling chemicals as mad scientists." At the bottom of the page, we see physical science, a better ice cream. One of the best things about ice cream is its smooth, creamy texture. But if this sweet treat sits in the freezer for too long, it can become gritty. That's because a freezer temperature often rises and falls slightly. As the temperature changes, tiny ice crystals in the ice cream repeatedly melt and freeze. This causes the crystals to grow larger and larger. Researchers at the University of Tennessee have found a new way to limit the growth of these crystals. The team added tiny particles of cellulose, a substance found in plants, to a sugar solution and put it in a freezer. The cellulose particles stuck to the outside of the ice crystals, causing them to grow much more slowly. This discovery could help keep ice cream creamy longer. Sweet. This article was written by Cassidy Jack. On the left side of the page, we see large ice crystals can make ice cream grainy. Right below that, we see scientists found a way to make sure the crystals stay small. On the next page, we have life science, a ferret hero, how this special animal and others like her could help save their species. As you read, think about how an animal species might depend on another species for survival. With her long body, stubby legs, and brown and white markings, Elizabeth Ann looks like any other black-footed ferret. But she has a secret identity that makes her special. She's a clone. A clone is an exact copy of a plant or an animal similar to an identical twin. Animals that are clones have the exact same DNA. This material determines an organism's inherited traits, the characteristics that it receives from its parents. DNA is found inside cells, the microscopic units that make up all living things. Elizabeth Ann is the first clone of an endangered animal native to North America. She has the exact same DNA as a black-footed ferret that died about 30 years ago, named Willa. To clone Willa, scientists collected her DNA and combined it with cells from a domestic ferret. See how to clone a ferret on page 9. Another domestic ferret gave birth to Elizabeth Ann on December 10th, 2020. Scientists bred Elizabeth Ann for an important reason. Wild black-footed ferrets are in danger of dying out. Scientists hoped that if Elizabeth Ann could have healthy offspring, she might be able to help save her species. On the prairie, most black-footed ferrets live in the Great Plains, a large flat area of grassland in the central U.S. See ferret homeland right. There, they hunt and eat prairie dogs, rodents that live in underground tunnels called burrows. Ferrets, and other animals also make their homes in these burrows. For thousands of years, the Great Plains were home to millions of black-footed ferrets. Then, in the 1800s, farmers moved to the region. They saw the prairie dogs as pests. The farmers wanted to plant crops in the fields where prairie dogs lived. So, with the help of the government, they poisoned the prairie dogs and destroyed their burrows. Over time, 95% of the prairie dogs died. As a result, wild ferret numbers fell too. Diseases also killed both animals. By 1979, scientists thought black-footed ferrets had completely died out. We see on the bottom of the page, ferret homeland. Black-footed ferrets once lived across 502,000 square miles in the Great Plains of the United States. Scientists are reintroducing them in parts of that range. We see a key at the bottom of the page. Green stands for historical range, blue is reintroduction site, and purple is last known wild colony. Think, where in the United States are most reintroduction sites located? At the top of the page, we see scientist Ben Novak holds Elizabeth Ann when she is just 3 weeks old. A second chance. In 1981, a dog belonging to a Wyoming rancher brought home a big surprise, a dead black-footed ferret. It turned out that 130 ferrets were living nearby. Conservationists captured 18 of them to raise and breed, but within a few years, most of the remaining ferrets had become sick and died. Thanks to the scientists' efforts, there are about 600 black-footed ferrets still alive today. That includes about 300 in the wild. But these ferrets are still at risk. One reason is that all of the animals come from just seven ancestors, explains Ben Novak. He's a scientist at Revive and Restore, a group that has worked with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and others to save black-footed ferrets. Closely related parents are more likely to pass on traits to their offspring that cause health problems. That's where Elizabeth Ann comes in. Because she is a clone of a ferret that lived in the past, she isn't closely related to the other ferrets living now. Scientists hope that Elizabeth Ann's offspring would add new DNA to the ferret population. That would give all ferrets a better chance of surviving. Scientists raised Elizabeth Ann at the National Black-Footed Ferret Conservation Center in Colorado. She lives in a pen built to look like a prairie dog burrow. As she matured, researchers began looking for a mate for her. But in 2022, they learned that Elizabeth Ann had a health problem. She recovered, but sadly, she cannot have babies. Yet, she still may be a hero. Researchers plan to breed new ferrets with the same DNA as Elizabeth Ann's. They are using a process similar to the one that led to Elizabeth Ann's birth. If all goes well, those babies could still help save wild ferrets. Hope for the future. Protecting black-footed ferrets could do more than save one species. It could help protect all the living things on the prairie. For example, as the public gets excited about saving black-footed ferrets, they may also want to protect prairie dogs, the ferrets' main food source. That would help the other animals that hunt prairie dogs, like hawks and badgers. It would also help the grassland because prairie dogs help keep the soil healthy. As some scientists breed black-footed ferrets to be released, others are treating the diseases that affect the animals. Researchers are also teaming up with farmers and ranchers to protect the prairie where ferrets live. Together, these heroic efforts just may give this species a new foothold in its wild home. This article was written by Catherine Free. On the left side of the page, we see Elizabeth Ann runs through tubes at Colorado Breeding Center. Just to the right of that, we see scientists release a black-footed ferret that was born and raised in captivity. Only about 300 black-footed ferrets live in the wild today. At the bottom of the page, we see prairie dogs, a main food source for black-footed ferrets, live in underground tunnels called burrows. Words to know. Clone, a living thing that is an exact copy of another living thing. DNA, inherited material that determines an organism's traits. Inherited trait, a characteristic of an organism that is passed down from one generation to the next. Cell, the basic unit that makes up a living thing. Species, a group of similar organisms that are able to reproduce. On the right side of the page, we see how to clone a ferret. Scientists cloned a black-footed ferret that had the same DNA as one that lived more than 30 years ago. Here's how they did it. Step 1. In 1988, scientists collected skin cells from a black-footed ferret named Willa and grew them in a lab. Number 2. In 2020, egg cells were removed from a living female ferret. Number 3. Scientists used a needle to remove the DNA from the domestic ferret's egg cells. Then, the scientists inserted Willa's DNA into one of the egg cells. Step 4. Scientists pulsed electricity through the egg cell that made the cell parts combine, then start to divide. Number 5. Scientists put the egg inside a female ferret to develop into a baby ferret, called a kit. On the next page, engineering. Better than spaghetti. Inside, a 3-year search for the perfect pasta shape. From spiral swirls to long spaghetti strands, there are about 350 different shapes of pasta. All have their uses in different recipes, but does one noodle stand above the rest? That was a question asked by Dan Pashman. He hosts a food podcast called The Sporkful. In 2018, he began thinking about how noodle shapes affect the way people enjoy different pasta dishes. Some pastas hold sauce well. Others are satisfying to bite into or easy to eat with a fork. Most pastas do one of these things well, says Pashman. But could one pasta do all of these things? To find out, Pashman began a search he called Mission Impossible. In the middle of the page, we see a picture of Dan Pashman. Food features. First, Pashman studied different noodles. He created criteria, or standards, to judge the noodles by. One was sauceability, how well sauce sticks to the pasta. Another was tooth sinkability, how enjoyable it is to sink your teeth into it. The last was forkability, how easy it is to stab a noodle with a fork. Pashman also thought about the pastas he liked best. He loved the ruffles on lasagna edges and the tube shape of ziti. These features hold sauce and makes noodles very chewy. Pashman decided to create a shape that combined them. Pashman spent weeks sketching pasta designs. He showed his idea to experts at a company called De Mari Pasta Dyes. The company makes metal pasta dyes or molds. Pasta dough is squeezed through the molds to make different shapes. De Mari told Pashman that his first designs were too complicated. After working for months, Pashman finally had a shape De Mari said might work. A long half tube with two ruffled edges. De Mari got to work creating the dye, perfecting the pasta. Pashman worked with Sloflini, a pasta maker in New York. Sloflini used De Mari's dye to produce prototype pasta, but when Pashman boiled the noodles, they fell apart. The pasta needed to be shorter and thicker to hold up while cooking. De Mari created a new metal dye to increase the thickness, and Sloflini cut the dough shorter. The new pasta met all of Pashman's criteria. He named his creation Cascatelli. That's a play on cascata, the Italian word for waterfall. In 2021, Sloflini sold 3,700 boxes of Cascatelli online in 2 hours. Today, other stores sell the pasta too. Some food fads are done just to look cool, says Pashman. I wanted to make something that was actually good to eat. Mission accomplished. This article was written by Andrew Klein. At the top of the page, we see pasta properties. Here's how cascatelli meet all of Pashman's criteria for a perfect noodle. Sauceability. A half tube surrounded by ruffles helps trap sauce. Tooth sinkability. Ruffles create more resistance when you bite, creating a chewy texture. Forkability. Cascatelli are large enough to stab with a fork, but not so big that they fall off on the way to a person's mouth. Investigate it. Think about how Dan Pashman used the engineering design process to create his new pasta shape. Then answer the questions. Number one, what problem was Pashman trying to solve? Number two, why did he test different pastas before designing his own? Number three, what obstacles did Pashman encounter while creating cascatelli? Number four, if you could improve a type of food, what would it be? Go online for an answer sheet and a hands-on activity. On the next page, Earth Science. Wild vacations. Take a tour of the world's most extreme vacation destinations. As you read, think about the difference between Earth's biomes. How would you like to wake up to tropical fish peering into your window? Or scale hundreds of meters up the side of a cliff to reach your bed? These experiences await the guests at some of the world's wildest vacation destinations. Read on to discover 4 unusual hotels. Each one is a different biome, a large community of organisms found in a specific type of environment. Which one would you want to visit on your next vacation? This article was written by Stephanie Warren Drimmer. Under the Sea. Pemba Island, Tanzania. Octopuses, barracuda, and other reef fish swim by. Guests at the Manta Resort can see these and other sea creatures from the comfort of their bed. The resort, located off the coast of Tanzania, in Africa includes a floating structure attached to the seafloor called the underwater room. Guests there can dive into the Indian Ocean or descend to a space 4 meters, 13 feet underwater. Windows offer views of this coastal ocean biome. At night, shy creatures like squid come to visit, attracted by underwater lights. Some animals seem very interested in the room, says Matthew Souse, who runs the resort. Batfish and trumpetfish are always looking inside, he says. On the left side of the page, we see this room is underwater. Animals like these batfish swim by the resort's windows. Cliffhanger. Cuzco, Peru. Natura Vive Sky Lodge is not for people afraid of heights. It's located in the Andes Mountains in the South American country of Peru. Guests stay in clear capsules made of thick, strong plastic bolted to the side of a cliff, 400 meters, 1,300 feet above the ground. To reach their rooms, visitors can climb 750 metal rungs attached to the mountain, or they can zoom down a zip line from a neighboring cliff. From their high-up perch, guests might spy an Andean condor, a large bird native to the area, soaring outside their window. Sky Lodge is nestled a few miles from Peru's tropical rainforest. Weather there tends to be hot and humid. In the wet season, from December through March, it rains almost every day. Lightning flashes as storms roll in. Rain or shine, the view is always amazing, says co-owner Natalia Rodriguez. Visitors brave enough to stay at Sky Lodge get a view from a cliffside. On the next page, breakfast buddies. Nairobi, Kenya. Each morning at Giraffe Manor, special guests join the breakfast crowd. As people enjoy muffins and fruit, giraffes stick their necks through the windows for a snack. Giraffes are native to the East African country of Kenya, but over time, people have destroyed much of their forest and grassland habitats. By the 1970s, only about 100 giraffes remained in Kenya. The owners of Giraffe Manor wanted to help. They brought wild giraffes to the grounds for a breeding program. The hotel, working with a group called African Fund for Endangered Wildlife, has reintroduced dozens of giraffes to reserves across the country. At the top of the page, we see a giraffe joins guests for breakfast at the hotel. Giraffes can grow to 19 feet tall and weigh 2,500 pounds. Arctic igloos. Saariselkä, Finland. During fall and winter in the Arctic, green, pink, and purple lights dance across the night sky. These light displays, called auroras, show up when particles from the sun interact with Earth's atmosphere. At the Kaksloatanen Arctic Resort, visitors can watch this light show from a cozy glass igloo. The resort is located in a boreal forest. Their pine and spruce trees endure harsh winters and cool summers. The hotel opened in 1973 after its founder's car broke down in northern Finland. Alone in the wilderness, he made camp and fell in love with the area. Visitors can ride snowmobiles, sleds, or go ice fishing. But an even more popular activity is watching the northern lights. The igloos have special glass that doesn't get coated in frost, allowing clear views of the colorful auroras. Words to know: biome, a large community of plants and animals living in a particular region with a specific climate. Coastal ocean, a section of ocean near the shoreline covered by shallow water. Tropical rainforest, a warm forest biome that receives rainfall year round. Grassland, a biome in which the main plants are grasses. Boreal forest, a cold forest biome that mainly has trees that reproduce using cones. On the next page, we have life science. Creature feature. Meet the kingfisher. A rattling call pierces the air. A bird hovers, beating its wings, staring into a murky pond. Suddenly, it dives into the water, creating barely a ripple. The bird emerges carrying its prize, a squirming fish, to a nearby branch. Thwack. It smacks the fish against its perch, then gulps it down. This bird is a fierce predator called the kingfisher. Kingfishers come in many sizes and colors, but their bodies are similar. They all have a large head, a long bill, short legs, and a stubby tail. Some kingfisher species have an amazing ability to spot underwater prey from a great distance, up to 90 meters, 295 feet. But despite their name, many kingfishers don't catch fish. Most species hunt small animals like frogs and lizards. One species uses its bill like a shovel, digging in the soil for worms. Read on to learn more about this fascinating group of feathered hunters. All in the family. There are nearly 120 species of kingfishers. The bird lives on every continent except Antarctica. Belted kingfishers live near waterways across the United States. Can you spot one near you? Tiny black back dwarf kingfishers found in parts of Asia weigh only as much as a mouse. Laughing kookaburras, the biggest kingfishers, live in Australia and weigh up to 1 pound. Diving for dinner. Number one, the plunge. A kingfisher can dive at speeds up to 25 miles per hour. Its smooth, sleek beak helps it slice into the water. The catch. Underwater, the bird snatches its prey in the blink of an eye. It quickly emerges with its meal clamped in its beak. This article was written by Lauren Morse. On the next page, we have cool steam job. Thrill ride designer. Engineer Susie Cheely designs roller coasters and other extreme rides. Susie Cheerley and her team created the indoor Dark Coaster, which opens this year. This illustration shows how part of it will look. As you read, think about how engineers use forces and motion to create thrilling rides. Clink, clink, clink. Your car inches up the first hill of a wild roller coaster. The car begins to tip forward over the top of the hill, then whoosh. You scream with excitement as you race down the track. If you love thrills like this, you have engineers like Susie Cheely to thank. She leads a team that designs rides at Busch Gardens, Williamsburg, and Water Country, USA, both in Virginia. She recently spoke with Superscience about her work. What led you to your career? I love math and drawing. So in college, I pursued engineering, which involves both. I really enjoyed it. For 10 years after college, I designed buildings and bridges. Then I heard about a job at a theme park. I thought, wow, how fun would that be? A few months later, I joined Busch Gardens. How do you come up with ride ideas? We think about what's the next big thing in ride design and see how it could fit at the park. The theme of Busch Gardens Williamsburg is European countries like France, Germany, and Italy. Each ride has a story that connects to the corresponding country's culture. An empty building inspired our newest ride, Dark Coaster, which opens this year. The space is shaped like a castle, and we designed a ride to fit inside. The building has no windows, so we used lights and sounds to play off the scenery and tell a story about the cursed castle during a storm. That's an experience you can't get from an outdoor ride. What features make a great ride? We use shapes like loops and drops to make rides exciting. Engineers called these shapes elements. With Pantheon, an outdoor roller coaster that opened in 2022, we used 1,014 meters, 3,327 feet of track. That gave us room to use a lot of creative ride elements. Take a wild ride. Shealy's team designed Pantheon, a roller coaster in Virginia, for maximum thrills. On Pantheon, the riders zoom backward up a spike or vertical piece of track, then drop straight down. It is a 178-foot drop. For example, in the middle of Pantheon, there's a section of the track where devices called electromagnets use magnetic forces to push the car forward, then backward up a vertical piece of track, then forward again. See design of Pantheon on the right. Design of Pantheon. One of Shealy's recent rides, Pantheon, opened in the spring of 2022. Here's how its design keeps its cars moving and its riders screaming from start to finish. Number one, magnets in the track push the car forward. It speeds around a loop. Number two, magnets launch the car up a 180-foot hill, but the car doesn't make it over. It zooms backward up a spike, drops down, then finally soars over the hill. Number three, at the bottom of the hill, the car reaches its top speed of 73 miles per hour. The car travels over one last big hill, then loses kinetic energy as it slows down. Finally, the car builds up enough kinetic energy, the energy of motion, to make it over a 55-meter, 180-foot tall hill. At the top of the hill, your car is full with potential energy. Then gravity pulls you down the other side. As you speed over the remaining hills, you feel weightless, like you're coming out of your seat. How are designing water rides and roller coasters different? Roller coasters have motors or magnets that pull the cars up the first big hill and sometimes other hills too. Most water rides don't have motors. Instead, guests gain potential energy by climbing to the top of a tower. There might be little hills along the way, but the energy you have at the top is what gets you to the bottom. When we build a new slide, we build the tower on top of a hill. Then we build the splash pool in a valley. That way, we get as much height difference as possible for the ride. What advice would you give kids who want to design rides? Think about what you love about the ride experience. You can work for a park or for companies that help build rides for different parks. You can be the person who comes up with the themes and stories for the rides. There are so many pieces that go into creating rides, so there's a lot you can do. This article was written by Danny Levis. Words to know: electromagnet, a type of magnet that uses electricity to create a magnetic field. Kinetic energy, the energy of an object in motion. Potential energy, stored energy due to an object's position in space. Gravity, a force that pulls an object toward another object. Motor, a machine that uses electricity to produce motion. Shaped to thrill, roller coasters zoom through different shapes called elements. Here are a few elements from rides at different parks that lift, twist, and turn upside down. Loop, Boomerang, Quebec, Canada. In loops, the track turns 360 degrees to make an oval shape. They can be vertical, above, or horizontal. Corkscrew, Corkscrew, Ohio, US. Corkscrews look like stretched out vertical loops. They often appear in pairs. Zero G roll, Hydra the Revenge, Pennsylvania, US. A zero G roll twists the track 360 degrees while going over a hill. Riders often briefly feel weightless or like there's zero gravity. Think, how are elements similar and how are they different? Go online for a step-by-step activity. Materials: sheet of paper and pencil. Plan your ride. You've learned how engineers use different elements to design roller coasters. Now it's your turn to plan a new thrill ride. Directions: on a separate sheet of paper, sketch a design for a new roller coaster that fits the criteria and constraints below. Use labels to explain where cars get energy. Criteria: the ride must have motors or magnets at the start to launch the cars or pull them up a hill. The coaster must have three or more elements, like loops or corkscrews. The coaster should be fun. Constraints: the ride must start and end in the same place. The track must be designed so cars have enough energy to make it to the finish. Take it further. Use materials in your classroom to build a 3D model of your design. On the next page, we have data analysis. When sparks fly, fireworks can be fun, but there are other safer ways to celebrate Independence Day. Each 4th of July, people across the United States watch colorful fireworks displays. The tradition dates back to 1777 during the Revolutionary War. Ships shot guns over Boston Harbor to celebrate the colony's independence. Fireworks are fueled by gunpowder. When the powder is lit, it explodes. Chemical pellets burst, releasing colorful sparks into the air. Different chemical combinations can release sparks in every color of the rainbow. Fireworks displays are beautiful, but they have downsides. They can cause injuries. Fireworks also produce pollution and make noises that can scare animals and harm people's hearing. That's why experts are working to develop safer and quieter fireworks. Our goal is to make fireworks that are better for the environment without changing how great the show is, says chemical engineer Eric Johnson. This article was written by Amy Barth and Maya Focht. Americans set off an estimated 429 million pounds of fireworks in 2021. Fireworks mishaps. Handling fireworks is dangerous. Every year, United States hospitals treat many people for fireworks injuries. Number of fireworks-related injuries per year. In 2021, there was about 12,000 injuries. Popular celebrations. Here's how 8,210 Americans said they planned to celebrate Independence Day in 2022. People could choose more than one celebration. With the highest percent of responses was attending a cookout. With the second highest amount, watching fireworks. Dig into the data. What was the most popular choice for observing the holiday? Fun without fire. Fireworks aren't the only way to celebrate the holiday. Here are three ways you can have flame-free fun this 4th of July. Blow some bubbles and run through them. Make some noises with kazoos, clappers, and other noisemakers. Show off dazzling glow sticks. On the last page, explain this. 1. Observe. Look closely at the photo. What do you notice about it? What details stand out to you? Number 2. Think. What do you already know that might help explain an element of this photo? Number 3. Explain. What do you think is going on in the photo and why? How do your observations support your claim? 4. Discuss. Compare explanations with your classmates. How are your ideas similar and different? What new ideas did you get? Number 5. Wonder. What questions do you still have? Record them on a separate piece of paper. You can research them later. What's really going on here? Visit scholastic.com/superscience to find out. That completes the May-June edition of Superscience, published by Scholastic. I'm Chris Radio Volunteer Danny Lax.